This is Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
This is the Baseball Tonight podcast for Friday, July 9th, 2021. Producing from a bootleg studio in Long Island is Taylor Schwenk. I'm Buster Olney, working from my home in New York, and our intern, Mr. Malibu, is up working at an ungodly hour on the West Coast. So I'm deep into preparation for the Home Run Derby, and you're going to hear part of that preparation today with an interview I did with the Orioles' Trey Mancini yesterday. And so I did not stay up to watch the late games. Taylor, you sent me a note this morning in your overnight note. You actually sent it about 12 o'clock last night about the crazy game between the Nationals and Padres. So to wake up this morning and dig into that, wow, incredible.
Really a wild game last night. I was up, you know, doing some things, was cruising on Twitter, saw that this reliever that they just called up, he hits a grand slam, they're down 8-0, the Padres are back in the game. I'm like, oh wow, I gotta turn this on. So I've turned on the game and I'm watching, and the Padres are chipping away. And I didn't watch the whole thing because it's going on till 1 o'clock. I can't be up that late. But I'm thinking to myself, there's no way the Padres are going to lose this game. And I need to actually pull up a note from the sports and information group. Over the last five seasons, teams facing an 8-run deficit are 5-1,312. That is a .004 winning percentage. And what do you know? They pulled it off, Buster. Wild game.
You're kind of giving away the ending before we actually get to the highlights.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, that's okay, because it was the game of the year, and we need to talk about it, right? So, early on, the Nationals took control, it seemed, with help from Trey Turner.
Here's the 1-0. Cracked in the air to deep center field. Way back goes Grisham. Way back toward the wall, and this one's gone. It clears just to the left of the 396 mark. It's a multi-homer game for Trey Turner. Two-run shot to dead center at Petco. Nationals 8, Padres nothing.
That from the Nationals radio network. Yeah, it was 8-0 in the fourth inning. We've talked about how great the crowd is in Petco Park. The Padres fans absolutely inspired by this team. Well, the Padres scored a couple of runs in the fourth inning against future Hall of Famer Max Scherzer. And then Daniel Camarena, a relief pitcher who grew up in the San Diego in Bonita, about 12 miles from Petco Park, came to the plate. And what happened next caused Don Arcillo to lose his mind.
Camarena to deep right field. Camarena plays it, slam Diego. Are you kidding me? The Padres pitcher they just brought up from El Paso, the San Diego kid, hit a grand slam. That's unbelievable!
Oh my gosh!
Off Max Scherzer!
So Don, as you correctly pointed out, Taylor, Don, it was like he realized all the incredible elements of this grand slam home run, a relief pitcher in a comeback to cut the score to 8-6 off Max Scherzer right at the end. It's like he remembered that right at the end.
Oh, Max Scherzer! He just like hit him like a ton of bricks. That was hilarious. Great. Just amazing call. Amazing crowd.
Yep. And Don's a great guy. Good, a friend. Known him a long time. So that was really cool to listen to. After that grand slam, Bob Scanlon does a great job for Fox Sports San Diego. Spoke with Camarena's brother, Louie.
How exciting a moment is this, not only to see your brother pitching in the big leagues after 11 years in the minor leagues, but to have this moment, a grand slam home run against Max Scherzer?
It's unbelievable. Really, it's what dreams are made of. Daniel's just such a great guy. He works so hard. He represents perseverance and love for the game, and couldn't happen to a better kid. You know, he's just a really special guy.
Now, you're the older brother. You said that you've spent a lot of time with him, working with him. His father passed away a few years ago, unfortunately not able to enjoy this moment, but talk a little bit about some of the time and effort that you put in working with him.
Yeah. Dad passed away in February of 19, and so I know he's here with us. He's a part of it all. We worked real hard for many years. Little League, travel ball, we went at it. My mom and dad bought a batting cage, and that's all we did. And so it's just very, very rewarding, and it feels very beautiful to be living this moment, honoring mom, dad, our family, all our friends, the community, doing it here in our hometown. I just, you can't script it. You just can't script it. So
what a moment for Daniel Camarena and his family last night. The Padres would tie this score 8-8. And this is how it ended.
Grisham lies it into right. From third, catch, bam. Padres trail 8-0. They walk it off 9-8. It's San Diego sending the Friar faithful into a frenzy.
Forget the Friar faithful. Don Ursillo was in a frenzy. And by the way, he and Mud Grant said that if the Padres would come back in this game, they will walk from Alpine, California to Petco Park. It's almost 30 miles, and that is now going to become a thing. They're going to raise money for charity. Really cool from the best game of the year to this day. There's no doubt about that. Yesterday, Cubs general manager Jed Hoyer seemingly began to prepare the team's fan base for a sell-off. Give a listen to Jed.
Well, I think I've always said that you're trying not to look at the standings too much. I think that you have to look at what that kind of baseball you're playing. And we came off an 11-game losing streak. So, yeah, listen, I think we've believed in these guys since 2015. They've had a ton of success, and I would never count these guys out. But, 11 days ago, we were certainly, fully on the buy side of this transaction, and everyone was calling about that. And obviously, people are now calling to see which players are available. So it's a very different scenario than we expected. And, life comes at you fast. 11 days ago is not where we were mentally. And obviously, 11 games certainly changes a lot of things.
Carl Ravage is going to tell us coming up where he thinks some of the Cubs players are going to land. Don Mattingly will return to manage the Miami Marlins in 2022. That word came from general manager Kim Ang on Thursday. Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa announced they will not participate or travel to the All-Star game. We've got some thoughts about that. Chicago White Sox slugger Eloy Jimenez said he's completely healthy after rupturing his left pectoral in March, and he will begin a rehab assignment Friday at Class A Winston-Salem. That's great news for the White Sox. The quote from him, "I feel better than in spring training. I feel like 110%. The Athletics worked to salvage the final game of their series against the Astros, and it was all about Frankie Montas.
And Montas will ready at the belt on the first base side. The leg kick, the 1-2. Splitter, swing and a miss. Down goes Tucker. 10 strikeouts and a masterful performance so far today for Frankie Montas. He is dominating the number one offense in the league. On to the fifth, it's 2-0 Oakland.
Montas just kept pounding the strike zone with his stuff in their 2-1 win. Logan Gilbert started for the Mariners yesterday, and Seattle shut out the Yankees 4-0. And a lot of times when the Yankees haven't scored, the offense has gotten a lot of scrutiny, and I can tell you this, watching that game, it was all about how great Gilbert was.
Strike three. Gilbert has retired 17 Yankees in a row. Eighth strikeout of the afternoon.
That from Dave Sims on the Mariners television network. The Indians and the Royals are tied 4-4. Couple runners on base. Franmil Reyes at the plate.
The pitch swung on, hit home. Hit deep to left center. This ball, gone! It's a walk-off.
That, of course, the unmistakable voice of Tom Hamilton on WTAM 1100. Trevor Bauer's administrative leave was extended an additional 7 days Thursday as Major League Baseball continues its investigation into sexual assault allegations against the Dodgers pitcher. The extension, which came on the final day of Bauer's initial leave, was attained with the consent of the Major League Baseball Players Association. The union must grant consent for any extension of administrative leave, which guarantees players full compensation and service time while investigations proceed. We're going to be talking with Carl Ravage. We're going to hear from Trey Mancini. We've got Todd Radom's weekly quiz today. And his presentation of a forgotten franchise. But before we get to that, Taylor, what you got?
Two things here, Buster. First of all, you can listen to Cardinals at Cubs this weekend on ESPN Radio. There's no Sunday night baseball game on ESPN Radio because of the NBA Finals, so make a note of that. But you can tune in Saturday, July 10th at 6 p.m. Eastern time for full coverage with our pals, Boog and Singy. And don't forget to listen to the Hoop Collective and the Low Post throughout the NBA Finals. They're both recording immediately following each NBA game, giving you instant reaction the next morning in your podcast feed. That's how I like it. And you can listen to the Low Post and the Hoop Collective wherever you get your podcasts. Buster, what do we got on Sunday Night Baseball?
Well, as you said, we've got no Sunday Night Baseball this weekend. I'm flying to Colorado to do the Home Run Derby on Monday. But we are going to broadcast the first game of the second half on Sunday night, the Red Sox playing the Yankees at Yankee Stadium. And a week from Sunday, the fourth game of that Red Sox-Yankee series, we'll have that as well. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11 ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code BASEBALL. That's code BASEBALL. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, I got you.
Okay.
Hey, Ravi.
How you doing, Lester?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Excellent.
All right. So did you,
Ravi, I don't know if you're this week you're ambushing with, but how was the wedding?
Oh, the wedding was great. Thank you.
That was my first question.
I thought you were going to ambush him with the thing we were talking about before.
I'm going to, but good Lord.
Bad producing. All right. We're coming in, guys. We're coming.
All aboard. It's the Rabbit Train with Carl Ravitch.
Carl Ravitch, those the baseball tonight, played by Playman and the host of the Home Run Derby on Monday. But before we get to any of that, Carl, how was your son's wedding last weekend?
I wouldn't say full tear, but there was welling up. And again, he's like so many who were married in a very private, like literally two people ceremony. And then we had the more traditional wedding. So he's been married for the year, like a lot of folks during pandemic, but seeing him up there surrounded by, his buddies, his brother, his wife and all the maids of honor. That was we welled up. We didn't go full blown tear, but the event itself was a blast. You get silly. If you can get into the frame of mind of enjoying weddings, you know, you wear silly clothes, you go to a photo booth, and there was all sorts of shenanigans. So we really had a really, really good time. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I'm really happy for you. I'm sure it was so much fun. I can't wait. Can't wait for those type of days, you know, with my daughter's 21
now. It was
now.
Great.
I'll wait a few more years for her before she gets married. But anyway, that's cool that you had that experience. So, Carl, last night, the game of the year in San Diego, the Padres come back from 8-0. And along the way, our friend Don Arcillo kind of lost his mind. Give a listen to his call of the grand slam by a Padres relief pitcher.
Camarena to deep right field. Camarena plays it. Slam Diego. Are you kidding me? The Padres pitcher they just brought up from El Paso, the San Diego kid. It's a grand slam. That's unbelievable.
Wait, you got to play it all the way through, Taylor.
Off Max Scherzer.
It was like done. Off Max Scherzer. So you heard that, Carl. You've been a play-by-play man. Have you ever kind of lost your mind and your voice, along the way when the excitement level just overtakes you?
I would say yes. I would say it's less about the excitement level overtaking you when your voice goes. I just think you try to reach a level where all of a sudden you realize my voice isn't going where I would like it to go. Don is terrific at what he does. Yep. He's great at what he does. He brings an incredible level of enthusiasm. We saw him on the East Coast with the Red Sox, and now we hear him out there. I think he matched the moment. I think he recognized the significance of it. And, being a local guy that comes back, a relief pitcher, an 8-0 deficit, Padres have had a great year. You know, he now that is who you, that is who John Ursillo is. That's what you expect from him. Not the first time that he's gone that high and the voice has done that, but, you know, it's funny you said the game of the year. Like, the Padres have been involved in like three games of the year already this season. They have these games where they go back and forth. They never seem out of it. They have the most electric player in the game. And that's why the Padres will be in the postseason and will be a team that goes deep. This is one of those years. I mean, let's, at some point you acknowledge like what's going on. This is one of those years for the Padres, for sure.
Yeah, that was so much fun. And you know, the backdrop now, I'm sure you probably heard this or read about it last night, but Don Arcillo and Mud Grant made the promise that if the Padres were to come back and win that game, they would make a 30-mile walk from Alpine to Petco Park. And that's going to be happening in the future. And that's going to be, you know, a really cool thing that's going to happen in San Diego. All right. As I mentioned, you are the host of the Home Run Derby. You got to be looking forward to this.
Yeah, I mean, the Home Run Derby is unique in that, you know, when you get into team events, you hope that you have the best team still playing. I've found over the years that I've done this, and it's been a while now, that the Home Run Derby, while we'd like to have Aaron Judge in it and Fernando Tatis and Vlad Guerrero, the truth is, when you have Ohtani in it and Alonso in it and Joey Gallo, who we've wanted for years in it, the event itself and the participants will make it great. This will be as memorable a Home Run Derby, in my opinion, as we've ever had. We're in the right city. We have Ohtani in it, who is absolutely the number one story in baseball this year. And the other seven guys in it for any and varied reasons make it compelling. The Home Run Derby doesn't need the biggest names in it because the event itself is structured so that it's exciting, it's fast-paced. We're not using a humidor. The balls are going to travel 500-plus feet. It will work. It will be great, I promise. And that's as a guy that's involved with it, and that's as somebody who's telling his – friends and family, just watch it with mute on. I don't care, but you will see, this will be a phenomenal competition.
Absolutely. And Ohtani, once you start with Ohtani and Alonso, anybody else is gravy, without a doubt. I told the story yesterday about my conversation with Jeremy Reed, who's the hitting coach for the Angels, Carl, about Ohtani. And I just, you know, every year I try to reach out to all the participants and find out, you know, how they prepare, who's going to pitch to him, all those questions. And in talking with Jeremy Reed, I said, you know, tell me about his batting practice regimen. And he kind of paused. He goes, well, you know, he hasn't taken batting practice with us once this year. You know, he has his drills before games where, you know, he does a few flip drills down underneath, takes a couple of hacks that way, and he's ready to go. But he actually hasn't taken batting practice. And I'm like, I heard that. I was like, oh, my God. You know, I heard that Buster Posey in his heyday would have a similar preparation for games because he was trying to save, you know, wear and tear on his body as a catcher. Hensley Mullins said that. But for Ohtani to go the whole year without batting practice, that's incredible.
Yeah, a lot of Ohtani's, when you do a lot of research and speak to people around him and know him, and look, that's a fairly small circle. You know, it's not as if everybody grew up with Shohei Ohtani. Nobody grew up with Shohei Ohtani. But so many of these things are rooted in the way that he was brought up and encouraged to do things like hit and pitch and learn to save energy and learn to not necessarily swing as hard as you can because we're going to need you to pitch. But do both. And he connected with Madden. And Joe is as responsible for the success of Shohei Ohtani as anybody not named Shohei Ohtani. He is the perfect conductor to this one man symphony, and the affording Ohtani to do everything and do it at the level he's doing. Look, the guy knows his own body better than anybody. He's made adjustments over the course of his lifetime. He's become a better runner. He's become a better hitter. He's become a pitcher, not just a thrower. All those things speak to that we are watching someone perform at the highest level at a level we've never seen before. Again, with all due respect to Babe Ruth, he did it for about 2 years, and he never did it to this degree, even for a single season. So if Ohtani does this for a number of years, we can say, like Mike Trout, who we compare to Mickey Mantle and others, we don't have a comparison for Shohei Ohtani. And the idea that he doesn't take batting practice, I'm sure there's a few other Angels and guys around major leagues who are going to say, you know, it's Ohtani's way of not taking BP. I'm now going to try to adopt that and see what happens. And most of the teams would be like, no, you're not him, so you are going to take batting practice.
Exactly. I do have one bone to pick with, you know, with how Major League Baseball structured this. I actually reached out to someone at MLB yesterday. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Because it's their event, it's their rules, they can do what they want. The way they have it lined up, Pete Alonso is the number 5 seed, the defending champion. The last time we did this in 2019, he put on such a great show. He's the 5 seed, which means he and Ohtani are on the same side of the bracket and may face each other in the semifinals. To me, I really wish that they had said, you know what, we have such a difficult time getting defending champions to come back and do this, you know, with Judge and with Stanton. If you're a defending champion and you decide you want to come back and you're invited to come back, to me, make that person the number 1 seed. Ohtani should be the 2 seed, and then maybe we'd see those guys in the finals.
Yeah, I'm a little bit different than you are on that, only because the seeding is just based on a home run total. Yes, you could certainly do that. We do create rules in this sport. But by that same token, if you put Alonso on the other side of the bracket and he ends up going against a Joey Gallo, that would be interesting. To me, Alonso and Ohtani's, look, that's hell of a TV in second round. And I keep bringing up this guy. I think Gallo is capable of a Josh Hamilton type home run derby. We've never seen him do it before. In the Futures game a few years ago, he hit a ball off of the pickup truck that was going to be awarded to the Derby winner the next day. So if you can tell me that, and this is with no disrespect, and anytime you qualify something with no disrespect, you're kind of disrespecting, but I don't mean to do that. But if you can tell me that Ohtani and Gallo were going to be in the finals of the Home Run Derby, I'd sign up for it. If you told me that Alonso was on the other side and he and Ohtani, great. But give me a polar bear who to me is more like a pit bull, and when he gets into a competition like this, sees nothing else but red and intends on winning, I'll take a round 2 matchup if we get there with Ohtani and Alonso and see how either one of them fare in a final against Gallo or anybody else. I hear you, but I'm okay with it. I'm great with it.
All right. I'm curious to see if you're okay with Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa announcing they will not be part of the All-Star festivities. They're not going to travel, just as Jacob deGrom did the day before. And look, I want to qualify this by saying I don't know. You know, I'm not living Jose Altuve's life. I'm not living Carlos Correa's life. If there's something specific that requires their presence at home, you know, all power to them to make that decision. Generally speaking, I do feel like that when players are selected for the All-Star game, that they have a professional obligation to go. It's the way that I felt when Mariano Rivera would not attend, when Derek Jeter did not attend in his last year, when Manny Ramirez would skip. And my feeling is, look, if you're a player, you're a veteran, maybe you've been there a few times, you're not excited about it, you'd rather have the 3 days off, announce it in spring training. You're like saying spring training, you know what? I just want to let everybody know I'm not going to the All-Star game. And that way your name doesn't go on the ballot. You don't waste people's time who vote for you. You don't take attention away during the voting process from other players. You don't waste the manager's time as they decide who's on the team. And you, if you want to back out, great, but do it in spring training. To do it in the middle of the year, I don't like it, Carl. I think it's wrong.
Yeah, it's a bad look all around, and I will agree with you. I'd preface it by if there are extenuating circumstances that require your presence somewhere else, and I know that Correa, apparently his wife is pregnant and going to deliver a baby at some point in the near future, yes, make it clear and make it known, but I agree 100%. I think this is a slippery slope. This is the NFL Pro Bowl. Thanks, but I'm not going. And you know, again, you now put it on the players to be self-accountable or have others tell them that you do have an obligation. You were voted in by the fans. Baseball does an unbelievable job of offending its fans, whether it's a three-hour rain delay only to have a game rained out, or players saying thanks but no thanks to an event that they want to see their players represented. They want to see Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa, and as you mentioned, Rivera and others who have said thanks but no thanks. DeGrom, too. Again, I know I have said this years past to you, and I've heard this recently from so many other baseball folks. We don't like the National American League uniforms. I want to see the Padre uniform. I want to see Salvador Perez wearing the Royals jersey. I don't really care about the game, but I want to see my guy up there down the first or third baseline in our uniform. I voted for him. I played a role in the outcome of the people that are here, and now you're not showing up. I don't think it's good for the game at all. I don't think it's a good look for those two guys, and I hope that their decision isn't rooted in the fact that they screwed up by being part of an organization that cheated, and they don't want to go deal with all the crap that comes with it. Self-inflicted wounds, it doesn't go away. But one of the ways to help it go away is to just confront it, be in the room and not avoid it. And it's hard not to draw the connection between what has happened with the Astros in the past and a decision not to go to an All-Star game. It stinks.
You agree with me if players don't want to participate, they should make that clear before they're part of the voting process?
Yeah, sure. But I think that, because to me, that becomes one of those situations where if you're going to declare before the season or at spring training, hey, I already know that I have this obligation or I have a family commitment or I'm just not going to do it, you should do it. I think it can come back and bite you in the ass, because I'm sure a lot of guys either wouldn't anticipate it or they're having such a magical year that they'll look back and say, oh, God, I really should be there. I really messed this up. And yeah, that's one way to do it. I don't think incentivizing people to go with any type of financial package is going to work, because they're paid so much money that money doesn't necessarily be a driving force. I don't know if it's a charitable donation to a player's cause that would make them want to be there more than they currently do. I don't know what the answer is, but not showing up is not the answer.
No, you're exactly right. All right, last one for you. Jed Hoyer came out yesterday, basically in so many words, announced that the Cubs are going to execute a sell-off. And I just want you to match up these players, Cubs players, with the team where you think that they may land. Craig Kimbrell, I think their closer is going to be the most coveted player on this year's trade market. I've mentioned the podcast before. I think he'd be a great fit with the Red Sox. I told the story about how an executive earlier this week pushed back and said, no, Houston, Oakland would be the two teams that would compete for him. Tell me where you think Kimbrell might land.
Yeah, he's done the Boston thing. I think Houston is the place. I do sincerely believe that part of the consideration for Altuve and Correa is they recognize we may be the best team in the league. One of the problems has been, ending games. And if you can add an arm like that, it becomes the most important aspect of a team, especially in the postseason. You need to know that when you're ahead by a run, the game is over when your guy goes out there. I think Houston is actually is where I think is the best fit for him, and I think that they're in that position to make that happen.
Anthony Rizzo, their first baseman. We had Jesse Rogers on with us yesterday. We talked about how when you're trying to trade position players, it's a very specialized market. Some teams wouldn't be looking necessarily at that spot. And he talked about the Milwaukee Brewers asking the question whether or not Jed Hoyer, the Cubs ownership, would be okay trading Anthony Rizzo to the Brewers.
I think it's a good fit. I think the Yankees are another good fit. I think if you're going to be a team that is trading, I think you have to take the blinders off.
Yeah, totally agree with you in that respect. Chris Bryant, I just get a feeling he's going to, at some point, find his way to the Mets, because there are very few teams looking to fill that spot. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the Mets make a lot of sense. I think the Atlanta Braves make a lot of sense. I think they need offense. They need a bat. They have Freddie. Obviously, he's a lefty. I'd like to see him in Atlanta. I think it's a good fit for him, and I think they need some offense.
Yep, and he could play the outfield, move out there. Javier Baez, I'm going to surprise you a little bit here, Carl. I kind of wonder about the Yankees, because I think Gleyber Torres has demonstrated, you know what, he's not the answer at shortstop, short-term or long-term. If you add Javier Baez, you're adding a thumper. I know it's another right-handed bat. It's not a perfect fit, but it would represent an upgrade for the Yankees. What do you think?
Yeah, not awful. I'm going to go a little crazier than even that. How about the New York Mets? And he plays second base for the remainder of the season. I know you have Lindor. I know you got a long deal. Those two are best buddies. Would Baez be willing to go play second base and play in New York alongside him, try to win a World Series and then see what happens? How about the New York Mets for Javi Baez?
Yeah, that's a good one. And by the way, those two guys have already sorted out that positional thing in the World Baseball Classic.
Nice. That's right.
You know what? Lindor is the shortstop. Baez is going to play second. Carlos Correa played third for Puerto Rico. And so maybe that would be a good fit. All right, sir. Carl, thank you. And I will see you in Colorado.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Buster.
You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish.
Yes. The clutch hits, the strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, 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 with nothing on your roof. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus Chews provides one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurological disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Trey Mancini was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer last year, and he worked his way back from that, and now he'll be in the Home Run Derby on Monday. I got a chance to catch up with him on Thursday. Trey, what's the best advice you've gotten about participating in the Derby?
I honestly haven't gotten too much advice yet. I talked to Vladdy the other day, though, when I was on first base, and you know, he said other than just enjoying it, you know, that's the most important thing. No matter what happens, you got to soak it all in. And it's such a cool experience. But he said it can get pretty tiring. So, you know, I don't know if that means, you know, taking a little bit less of an effort level out of the swings or things like that. Obviously, you still want to hit it hard and far, because that's why people are watching. But trying to pace yourself, maybe taking the break at the right time. But it's something I haven't thought about too much yet.
Who's throwing to you and why?
So the pitching coach at Notre Dame, his name is Chuck Restano. His first year there was my first year there during the 2011 season. So I promised him back then that he could throw to me if I was ever in the Major League Home Run Derby. He threw to me in the Big East Home Run Derby in 2012, and we won that. So kind of jokingly, kind of serious, I told him that he could throw to me in the Major League Home Run Derby if it ever happened, and sure enough, it did. So he's going to be the one throwing to me.
Tell me what that phone call or text message was like to deliver to him, to ask him to participate.
Oh, it was great. We keep in touch a good amount, and I called him, and I don't think he was sure if it was good news or bad news since I was calling him. Obviously, I've been through a lot in the last year and a half, and getting to call him with that news, that it was good news that I was asking him to throw to me in the Home Run Derby, was really cool. I think he was fighting back tears a little bit. He was in the airport recruiting, actually, and he was on the way back to South Bend when I called him.
So you know him, and you've also watched the Derby. Sometimes it can come down to how nervous the BP pitcher is. How do you think he'll handle that?
I think he'll handle it great. He's practicing a lot, and you know, I think he can handle the spotlight and handle it really well. And he's said that your job as the BP pitcher is to be as invisible as possible when you're out there a little bit, even though he deserves a lot of the spotlight as well. But I think he's going to be great.
What's your typical BP regimen?
So typical BP, I'm never really trying to hit too many home runs in BP, I'd say. Normally, I just kind of do a progression, and then maybe the last couple rounds, I'll let it loose a little bit. But obviously, in the home run derby, you got to let it loose from the get-go, especially with the timer. So there's no, there's no punching it through the four hole at the beginning and kind of progressing in the home run derby. You got to be ready to go. So I'll make sure to do that in my warm-up beforehand and then be ready to go when the home run derby starts.
What's your sweet spot in BP?
BP, honestly, like right down the middle. I'll kind of hit it wherever. I actually like going oppo a lot in BP and to center and oppo. But I think, you know, I'm probably going to ask for a little bit in on the inner half of the plate is probably where I'm going to want for BP.
You have any kind of a strategy that you've thought about?
Not too much. Honestly, I haven't really thought about it too much just since we have a few games left before the break. And I've been more concerned about that just because my swing hasn't particularly felt amazing the last few weeks in the game. So, you know, if the thing's true about some people think that the home run derby can mess up your swing, right now I'm hoping that it's the opposite. My swing doesn't feel great. Maybe it'll get me locked in and right for the second half here.
So how much have you practiced?
Coach Restano is in South Bend, so we're not really getting to practice until that day. But Darren Holmes, our bullpen coach here, is going to go out with me one day, and we're going to practice, and I'll get the pacing down and do that a little bit. So I am going to practice here this weekend at some point, but I haven't yet.
What does it mean for you to get this invite this year, given everything that's gone on for you?
It's really special. I was a little surprised at first when I got the invite, but at the same time, it was something that I no doubt wanted to do. It's an event that I watched every year growing up. It was one of my favorite things of the year. I was always at the beach with my family watching the Home Run Derby and All-Star Game every year. So there is no doubt about it that I wanted to do this. And you know, for the bigger picture, I wanted to do it to inspire people to let you know that, even a year after getting diagnosed with cancer and going through treatment, you can go on to live a normal life and do great things. So, I hope to inspire some people watching this week.
As you were going through your treatment, what role did baseball play?
It was something that I always wanted to get back to. And I knew that if I could get back to baseball, then that was a very good sign for my health. When I got diagnosed, baseball definitely took a backseat in my mind. It wasn't the first thing that I thought about. When you receive a life-threatening diagnosis like that, you just want to live a long life and you'll sacrifice a lot of things. And I would have sacrificed baseball to be guaranteed, to live a long life. But luckily, you know, hopefully I can do both here. And after I finished treatments, it was always a goal of mine to get back to playing baseball and getting back in baseball shape. And luckily that's happened.
You've gotten so many moving responses from your peers, from fans going into ballparks. Give me one or two that really touched your heart.
So our first road trip was Fenway and Yankee Stadium, and the fans couldn't have been nicer. And, you know, normally when you're an opposing player in those places, it can be a little daunting. They can be a little tough on you sometimes, but there wasn't one person who, you know, said a mean thing. It was really weird, actually, when I was on deck. Just everybody in both places were just saying they're so happy to see me back. And it still happens a lot. Every time I go to a new park, there's somebody that, you know, always yells that they're happy to see me back. Actually, when we were in L.A. this past week, there was a man that had a sign that said that his treatments for colon cancer started the same day as opening day this year, and that I was his inspiration. And seeing that just means a lot, because it's nothing that I think about day to day, and I don't see myself as that. But to see other people have signs like that and to tell me that they're happy to see me back just means the world. And you know, it's something that's much bigger than baseball.
You've seen the field of hitters in this. Who are you looking forward to watching in the derby? Oh,
every single one. But I mean, you got to say Shohei. We just played them, and dude is as advertised, just so impressive on both sides, pitching and hitting. I mean, to get elected an All-Star as both is insane. And you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing what he can do in the Derby, because it is extremely impressive. He's a guy that, you know, one day I'll tell my grandkids I played against him and they probably won't believe it. I feel like he's that kind of talent, and you know, it's an honor to get to compete against him and all the other guys in the Derby.
Todd Radom is the chief executive of our weekly quiz. He's a graphic artist whose work can be seen on ball fields all across America, all around the world. Or you can go to his website, toddradom.com. Todd, hey, I get to see you in Colorado. I can't wait.
Buster, it's like a state occasion. The All-Star break. It's a wonderful thing. I can't wait. And it's going to be great. We hit the midpoint of the season intact, a whole season. So it's going to be fun.
Yeah, we're going to go to, we live about 10 miles apart, and we're going to go 2,000 miles so we can see each other, and that'll be a lot of fun. All right. So before we get to this week's quiz, let's talk about this week's forgotten franchise.
So Buster, today we are going to talk about one of baseball's earliest teams, a club that was renowned for the depths of their corruption and rough play, a club that was actually expelled from the National League after its inaugural season. The New York Mutuals. The Mutuals, formerly Mutual of New York, a.k.a. the Green Stockings, were formed in 1857 by volunteer firemen who were members of New York's Mutual Hook and Ladder Company No. 1, the city's first volunteer fire department. The Mutuals were the de facto team of Tammany Hall, New York's notorious and powerful political organization, and its leader, William M. Boss Tweed, was a member of the Mutuals' board of trustees. This club has the notorious distinction, Buster, of being responsible for the first fixed game in baseball history. On September 28th, 1865, three members of the Mutuals accepted bribes to throw a game against Brooklyn's Eckford Club. They were all barred by the National Association of Baseball Players, but later reinstated. Tammany Hall secured jobs for the all amateur Mutuals on the city payroll, and in 1869, the New York City Council appropriated $1,500 to fund a road trip to New Orleans. The club originally played its home games at Hoboken's Elysian Fields, which played host to what is generally considered the site of the first organized baseball game in 1846. The Mutual shifted their home games to the Union Grounds, formerly known as the Union Baseball and Cricket Grounds, in South Williamsburg, Brooklyn, in 1868. Originally part of the National Association of Baseball Players, baseball's first organization, the Mutuals joined the National Association, the first professional league, in 1871 and became charter members of the National League 5 years later. The Mutuals' lone NL campaign was, as I like to say, less than stellar. The club finished up with a 21-35 record and failed to make its final road trip of the season, which led to their expulsion from the league. But their notoriety, Buster, and their status as one of baseball's top early clubs makes them this week's forgotten franchise.
Now, you and I have talked about the worst and best team names, okay, through the years. I've never brought up this category, and I think this team would qualify the most immediately unlikable team name. When you, like, if you're a fan, okay, and the team calls itself the Mutuals, a.k.a. the Green Stockings, I hate them right away. What about you?
Well, Buster, I would say that a couple of weeks ago, we discussed the Worcester Worcesters, which right. I think is really hard to top in that category. But, you know, Mutuals approaches there. And now all of a sudden, I'm thinking of the USL and the Washington Federals and thinking, you know, all those years ago, who wants to be a Federal? It's not exactly an aspirational thing. And the same probably holds true for Mutuals. So there you go.
Mutual. That would annoy me, like, right from the get-go. Like,
what would we shorten it to? The Mutes. The Moots.
Right. The you know, the tough, gritty Mutuals.
Well, so there are probably people who are the equivalent of you and I in 1961/62 who said the same thing about the Mets when they came into existence. So who knows?
You're right. Taylor, you agree with me? Mutual being like, oh, my God, I would hate that team right away.
Oh, yeah, that's awful. It just it smells of greed and corruption. So they really gave away the game there.
but think about the marketing possibilities of them being sponsored by mutual funds, perhaps, or Mutual of New York presents the New York Mutuals.
You know what?
Who knows? It would
go great. Jersey would go great on the bull outside of the stock market in New York. I think that'd be a good marketing spot for it.
I can Photoshop that. I'm all in.
All right, let's get to this week's quiz.
All right, boys. Week 17 of our quiz. Earlier this season, Joe Musgrove finally pitched the first no-hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres. The Dodgers, by contrast, have pitched 26 no-hitters. So here's this week's question. This franchise leads the American League in all-time no-nos. Is it A, the White Sox, B, the Athletics, C, the Yankees, or D, the Red Sox? All-time most no-hitters in the history of the American League for a franchise, White Sox, A's, Yankees, or Red Sox?
That's a great question. Thank you. Taylor, what you got?
I'm going to go Red Sox.
I'm going to go Athletics.
Both of you are incorrect because the answer is the Chicago White Sox, who have 20. Including one this year. The Red Sox, Taylor, have 18, the last by John Lester in 2008. The Athletics with a mere 13, the last by Mike Fiers in 2019, Buster. So we hold serve and we enter the second half of the season with Taylor making trades, firing managers, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, and I've gone like 6-7 straight weeks now without actually being successful in one of these. I got it, you know, so my logic on that was I knew the Yankees, you know, that they – despite their history, as you know, it's been built on offensive players as opposed to pitchers, with all due respect to Whitey Ford and Mariano Rivera. I focused on the Athletics because through their history, they've had the likes of Lefty Grove and Catfish Hunter, Vita Blue, pitchers like that. They've been into pitcher's park, and I can remember specific examples of Oakland pitchers throwing no hitters. So that's why I went with that guess, and it was a terrible guess.
Well, you know, and you witnessed a perfect game, if not more than one, if I'm not mistaken, Buster, right?
Yeah, two at Yankee Stadium, David Cone and David Wells. But I should have remembered the Mark Burley no-hitter.
Maybe by the end of this season, the A's might throw eight more no-hitters the way things are going and in the second half. And, you know, your answer might be right come October. Who knows?
Yeah, that's the sort of comeback at this point that Taylor needs to win this year's quiz. All right, thank you.
All right, guys. Good seeing you.
Bleacher Tweets.
Alrighty, Buster, Bleacher Tweets for a Friday. First up, we have Dave Kropp at Kropp's Corner. Dave writes in, the Phillies had multiple second half collapses under Gabe Kapler's management. Do you think the same will happen to the Giants as the second half approaches? I don't think so, considering San Francisco's pitching.
Yeah, Taylor, I appreciate your calm reading of that question because as we're doing the podcast, your power's been flickering where you are in Long Island.
Yeah, you know, I figured it's probably better that normally I stumble over these tweets, so trying to slow down a little bit. And if the power goes, it goes, Buster. It's out of my hands. God's work, so.
And I'll go quickly here. Dave, I agree with you. I don't think they'll collapse in the second half.
All right. Christian Zylstra writes in at ShizzyCMZ. There have already been 9 instances of a team losing 9 straight games this season. There haven't been 9 game losing streaks in a single season since 2011. And we hit that before the All-Star break. Why? How bad of a sign is that for August and September?
Christian, I think it's an outlier. I think it's just a wacky situation. I will say this. We've talked about how polarized the standings are. I think that's only going to get worse as we go through the trade deadline and the contenders, the handful of contenders add the best players.
Last one for the week. This one is from Mr. Malibu himself, who is toiling in the coal mines right now because that's what I don't want to be doing. Nathan Garcia at Nady Garcia. He writes, will we see a foreign substance check in the All-Star game? Good question, Nate.
No, we will not. I can't remember the reporter who had that information first. It might have been Joel Sherman of the New York Post, but I believe that's the case. No foreign substance check at the All-Star game.
Alrighty, that's it for the week. Hashtag Bleacher Tweets on Twitter as you're watching games, and please follow, rate, and review this podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts.
That's it for today. That's it for this week. Have a great weekend. My thanks to Carl, Todd, Taylor. Thanks for listening. Stay safe. And remember, hate and inequality based on skin color is something we need to fight against every single day.
Thanks for listening to the Baseball Tonight podcast. If you're playing fantasy baseball, check out the Fantasy Focus podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. The Baseball Tonight podcast.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them. You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.